We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 327. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media.
How's travels been, man? You've been off on the road.
That's a rare thing, isn't it? Yeah, sure. I was in Calgary, which was really nice, actually. I'm not a big fan of the flatlands, but it was, and we were in Dead Heart, the city, at the Inventures Unconference.
Unconference. Yeah, I always love that.
Yeah, I know. It was fantastic. It was the first time it's been done, and it was headed up by the lady who, I'm not sure if she was one of the CEO. I think she was the former CEO of South by Southwest when it launched. So she's really knows her stuff.
So what did you talk about? Anything fun?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned a lot of the other shows, or one or two shows anyway, that I was talking about the future of web marketing. And that was fun, man. That was really cool. What I'm going to be doing is actually putting together a summary. I'm going to pretty much put my answers and the questions from the moderator into a written article as well and post that. I know they're going to probably post it at Alberta Innovates. That's the government organization that ran this, but I'll make sure to post a link to it. Some fun stuff. It was very really cool. Fun.
And I look forward to reading it.
Yeah, it was helpful. I tapped you a couple times just to run things by. It's always nice to have another eye, and you're a big help. So thank you.
It sounded fun.
It was. Yeah, it was. I got to meet Chris Shipley, which is quite cool. Are you familiar with her?
The name sounds familiar, but can't place it.
Okay, she is one of I think three people that were credited with, because it's really how can you be sure, but credited with having invented the term social media. And she wrote literally the book on how to use the World Wide Web back in '93.
Nice.
Fantastic, brilliant lady. Well, it was noted as one of the top 10 influencers at Silicon Valley. Anyway, brilliant. And that was really neat to meet her. Got the obligatory selfie. And yeah, I know. I hate even asking. I feel like such a cheese ball. But I'm like, you know what? I regret it when I don't, because I don't have that memory. You know, it's that picture that it's kind of neat to get. I'm glad I got up with Matt one time. It's just neat, Matt Cutts.
Yeah, I got one with Matt too. Just popped up on my Facebook wall a couple of days ago from SMX Advance, I think.
Yeah, you know, I never cease to feel as cheese as all, but whatever. I've got one with an actor at some point, and I love that picture. You know, I totally felt cheese asking for it, but whatever.
I've never been one of those starstruck kind of people that like wants to get pictures and autographs and that kind of stuff. It's kind of beyond me, the thought process.
You know, it's weird. There are incidences where I get starstruck, very rarely. But even when I do get the photos, it's mostly just to say, hey, I actually did meet them. That's cool. I don't really, I'm not like those people who like, my God, some people are crazy. You see them crying. They're like some losing it.
Nuts. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
They are true fans, quote unquote fanatics, you know? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not.
Like, remember the first time Scott met Matt Cutts? He started crying, I think.
We don't talk about that.
Sorry.
Yeah, he made a mess.
He was really mad he couldn't be called a cutlet. I don't know why I'm picking on Scott, but I haven't picked up on Facebook enough recently, so I figured I'd get it done.
That's good. It's fun. Well, I try to once in a while, too. He and I have great banter. what else happened? The talk went well. It was 45 minutes, and there was three of us. The moderator sort of chipped in as a speaker on the panel as well, just because there was only two otherwise. And it was really not enough time. We didn't even cover some of the main topics. So that's part of the reason I want to do the article, because there's so much I put into this that I didn't get to talk about. And I think, that'll be kind of fun to share. But I hope to go back. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. Anyway. Well, a lot of stuff happened while we've been gone a couple weeks now, almost. Or at least a week.
A week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had David Harry on the last episode, which was fun. I almost want to call it the David Harry Show, because really, all I just had to ask one question. He could have gone on the whole 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty much David in a nutshell.
But he's great. I'm so happy he came on. And it does make it effortless. I mean, really.
He's a great guy.
Didn't feel like I was really needed to be there.
Great. Hey, I'm going to tell our producers, maybe I'll just give David a call.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If I can't make a show, you should go for it, man. Really easy. You guys had a blast too, I'm sure. Anyway, let's jump into the news here. So Matt Cutts, I thought this is so cool. I miss him. I really do. I really miss seeing him. I miss that smile. Anyway, he was at SMX Advanced. I didn't, of course, get to see him there, but he received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the team at Search Engine Land, which I think is, for lack of better words, cute. It's, you know.
Yeah.
He's a pretty young guy. He's still got a long way to go, but he's missed. He's definitely missed.
I would have loved to have been there to hear about what he's doing now.
Yes.
Just the work he's doing for the government.
Whatever he can tell.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know he did mention that, I guess they were talking about what it was like when he was at Google, and he says, you know, they really cared about what was going on, and they were always trying to innovate and make it better, and, you know, the song and dance, I guess, to a degree, but it was nice to hear, no matter what. So I've nicknamed this episode the Google Search Console Edition.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, look at our notes. It's pretty much at least 60%.
Google My Business, Search Console. Yeah, it's in there. Nice.
Oh, you know what? I missed that. It was the Google My Business. I thought it was Google Search Console, too. Never mind.
But all still, right. We call it the Google Tools Show. There you go.
No, I don't want people riffing on that.
Yeah, really.
Sometimes I feel
so let's talk about the Google My Business. Basically what happened since our last show, they have launched the Google My Business agency dashboard, and I haven't got to play with it much yet, but basically the idea is that agencies can manage the Google My Business for multiple clients in the same space. It's really kind of a pain to go through the process of trying to get Google My Business, you know, get it verified. And then every time you need to do anything, you have to log into a different account with that user's password. This is one place where agencies who are managing multiple locations for multiple businesses can do everything in one space. And it's really handy if you're in that position. Excuse me. However, there's been some pushback. Some of the smaller agencies and the local SEO experts are really pushing back. And Joy Hawkins, who's been on the show a number of times now, I think, is really pushing back hard on some of the bugs in the system. The one thing that she said that really caught my attention, that makes no sense at all, is that when an agency gains access to the Google My Business account for one of their clients, it makes them the owner and the client a manager. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, my brief experience with this, I was going to add, I was about to switch ours over just a couple days ago when it launched. I thought this is kind of cool. I want to check it out. I don't want to be behind the eight ball, pretty much. A bit of FOMO here. But I went to it, and I could not believe the stupidity of it. I could not use any of my Stepworth accounts unless they had absolutely no Google My Business profiles connected to it. Didn't matter if I was a user. I had to have a virgin account. It was not allowed to have any connections. And it's just like this. It says, in addition, it says this is from Joy. So she saw the same thing, except in this case, employees. But I couldn't do it myself. But your employees can't be added until they empty their GMB account.
So I guess from a technical perspective, it kind of makes sense because they don't want to merge what's in that account with a new agency account, just automatically merge them. Maybe if they had built a tool that, do you want this one or this one or this one? But having that empty does make sense from a technical programmatic perspective.
But you got to think about it. Essentially, what I'm going to have to do if I want to get this to work, even if everyone was raving about how well it was built, I'm going to have to create a new email account because I can't. The one that I do have right now that everyone uses within this company, I can't clear that out. If I do that, I won't have access to anything again.
I wonder if you can change the email address after you've connected.
I don't know, man. The whole thing is so annoying. I'm not going to touch it. 10-foot pole. And that's where, thank you, Joy, you get to blaze a path through this nightmare.
We're just going to follow Joy and see how she does it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good idea.
I'm glad I didn't go for it. I was like, Jesus, should I really go for this? And I just thought you know what? There's certain things we learn over time, and that is that sometimes it doesn't pay to be on the top of it with Google. You know? Give it time.
Or give it 6 months and they'll take it away anyway, so. We talk about long meta descriptions here.
Anyway, I got a bad taste from step one, so there you go.
I can say that my timing to move on from Advanced was pretty if this is the case, because we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients in Advanced that they have to migrate over to this thing if they want to use it. And I'm absolutely positive if I was in that position right now, I'd be like, no, we're not touching this for another 3 or 4 months until it all kind of settles down and work out the kinks.
Yeah, their vendors are going to have fun too.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting thing here is about Google Search Console. It has added a filter for web light search appearances. This is the weirdest name. But anyway, first of all, I don't love the new Google Search Console either. I think it's crap. What do you think of it?
I'm still deciding. I've been able to do some things that I wished I could have done before. But there's other things that are just annoying me that they don't work the way they used to. So I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm partly, you know, being an old coot that doesn't want to change anything. But it's
just... Excuse me. Pardon me. You made me stop saying Webmaster Tools, and now you're going to say you don't want to change anything? Thank you. I'm going to call it Webmaster Tools again.
Go ahead and do that. It might be confusing. anyway, it's minified a lot of the access to information. It's there, but it's not, it's not logical to me. It's certainly not going to be anything that I can explain to a client easily. At least before, there was a menu on the left. You clicked on the areas you wanted to be and you'd get the answer. Right now they've minimized that to just four buttons.
Yeah.
And a coming soon, which is really unencouraging.
coming soon for Google is the same as like, well, an asteroid could hit us. but it'd be, you know, 10,000 miles away is coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't bank on it. Yeah. Anyway, with that is this web light. So what they mean now is there's an ability to see what content is indexed or how it's doing, I guess, in terms of visibility. And that's the content that has been taken from Google on your website and whittled into something smaller for people with lower speed or lower internet speeds. So in most cases, I was doing some reading on this, it's India, all these places that sometimes have lower internet speeds or third worlds that are getting this information. But it's just a way for you to see what kind of exposure that content's getting. It's interesting, though, that that content, when it's whittled down and sped up for people who are abroad, it takes out ads.
Does this tie into AMP in any way, you think?
It seems like it's like a bastardized version of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like an auto AMP.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. Anywho, I think let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got another bit here on Google Search Console.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping high speed on a horse named Archibello. So yes, my body hurts, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life.
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
Ho-ho, Archibello!
Learn more at brainhealth.gov.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S. Webmasterradio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing. Email sales@webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So what's going on here?
Well, if you're like me and you like kind of your day is not complete unless you've been inside a Google Webmaster Tools at some point and you're watching data close, you'll have noticed a while back around May 23rd, crawl stats stopped updating. So in Google Search Console, there's a tool that allows you to see how often Google's crawling your site, how many pages did they fit, how much bandwidth did they use, that kind of stuff when they're in your site, finding new pages and indexing pages. Around May 23rd, that data stopped. And it took about 3 weeks, and it was like 3 weeks, and the last information you had was May 23rd. But they did fix it. It's back. So that 3 weeks of data is not gone. It is there. So they were still recording all the information, but they just weren't updating the charts inside the Search Console, apparently, because that info is still there. But it's back now. If you had noticed that it was gone and you were worried, worry no more, because it's back.
Yeah, I can't see any blips or anything, so everything's as usual. That's good. People can sleep again.
Yes. just the super geeky ones that live and breathe in Webmaster Tools. See, I'm going to start calling that again. You gave me permission.
Did I? All right. Imagining things again, are we? Okay, so 6 million manual actions? Holy.
Last year, which is crazy. I mean, and someone pointed out that that's not a lot when you think about how many websites there are on the internet.
Okay.
I just did a bad thing.
I didn't explain to people. So Google search spam, there's been over 6 million manual actions. That's people at Google manually penalizing or manually doing some kind of action on a website.
See, I have a problem with that. See, this number to me is pointing out a serious flaw in them saying that humans do all the manual actions, because I did some math, right? 6 million manual actions. If you figure people working standard 5 days a week with a couple weeks off the year, a team of 100 people would have to do 2,400 manual actions per person per day, every day.
If they had counting the pages that were acted upon.
it said manual actions in this report, and it just made me crazy thinking about, you know, there's no way they can do that manually. Even if they had 1,000 people, you'd have to do 240 of them a day per person per day. It just seems like the manual in manual actions is now a little suspect in my mind.
Although, you know, their quality manual, whatever it is, I can't speak today. What was it
called? Quality raters guidelines or something like that.
Yeah, those are sent to way more than 100 people. I would imagine they've got
Are the quality raters. Those are not the people that actually assign manual actions, because they send those to people all over the world, right?
Yeah, but they may suggest them if they find something. Maybe that's what's counting.
Maybe, but still, that's.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what it takes to assign a manual action, but you know, if I had to do 240 of them a day, meaning there was 1,000 people on that team, 240 days, still a lot to get through to pay real close attention to what you're doing, mm-hmm. and to not have any manual human error involved.
There's no question. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You're going to cover the next one here. I don't know anything about this one.
So this is really interesting to me, and it potentially will send shockwaves through our industry at some point. Right. Right now, Bill Slowoski writes at SEO by the Sea. He's like the number one expert on Google patents. David Harries bows to his feet. He says, tells me. Anyway, he discovered a new patent that was granted to Google in April of this year. And basically, the patent described how they could combine paid results and organic results in the same listings. Not like having, like it is now, where there's ads on top and organic on the bottom. The ad and the organic would be the same listing. So it's very interesting to me that this is coming up, paid and organic together in the same listing, because it kind of goes back to the way it was many, many, many years ago, right? They tried that a couple different ways, and it never seemed to work. If you go back to Google Shopping, right? They tried that paid and organic in the very beginning. They had to change it to only paid because they found that it just didn't work. There's a lot of theories around why this might be happening. And again, remember, this is just based on a patent they got access to or granted to them in April. That means they've probably been working on it for years and they finally got the patent. And if we haven't seen it yet, that means that I don't know what it means. They don't actually act on all the patents they get, but this would be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, if they could do it, it may improve the power of paid, because people would be, you know, not exactly sure where paid is all the time, so they might be clicking on them as though they're organic. But they have to also watch that paid are clearly noted too. So it's an interesting balance they're going to have to strike.
Yeah, there's a number of theories of why they would be doing this. The one that I subscribe to,
money
personally, is this is part of leading up to figuring out how they're going to monetize voice search. because I think this will the most logical thing for me is to see this show up in the answer box and the knowledge graph type of content that they're displaying more than just what we think of as normal listings. And say they do it in the answer box and they combine paid and organic. If someone pays to answer a certain question, they get the listing. If nobody's paying, an organic one comes up. That's possibly a way they could mix paid and organic. And as we know, the answer box is tied directly to voice search right now. So I think there's a number of ways this could come into play. But again, with Google, you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot to that. I mean, I've been in my future marketing research, looking at what could happen with voice search as being a big part of it. And not a single person has made a compelling case on how they could make voice search paid and not ruin it entirely. So it should be interesting. I'd love to see how they do it and whether or not it would actually pay out. I think ultimately, at least until there's something we can't see or even consider at this point, I think it's going to stay the way it is, or it ultimately will, because of the kickback. The pushback, people not liking paid in there, and also because they can get so much info just from search, a voice search, that they can affect everything else. I mean, there's a lot of data there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's not like it's not benefiting them at all. It sure is. So, all right, the Mueller files.
I'm making a noise today.
Yes. Stars, ratings, and surveys are not a Google ranking factor.
Yeah, this was on one of John's webmaster sessions on what does he call those? The Hangouts, the Webmaster Hangouts. I was getting confused with Whiteboard Fridays for a second, but it's not that. And someone asked him about these, and he clearly says, you know, these are not organic ranking factors. Though I would think we'd always want to make sure that, you know, especially when we're talking about, well, stars and ratings. He doesn't say reviews. So let's make sure we don't get that stars, ratings, and surveys. A review results in stars sometimes, but that's not necessarily the same thing
as a rating.
Yeah, and a rating. But right. I don't think that's exactly the same thing.
He doesn't specifically say it doesn't do anything with local, which of course it does.
Right.
So, I mean, there's very little. I haven't heard a compelling reason why it wouldn't be. I've certainly seen enough reviews in local to influence rankings.
And I would be very, very surprised if at some point in the future Google did not start using sentiment at some level. And that kind of ties into those same things, ratings and surveys on regular content as well.
Yes. Okie dokie. Next. Google Sitemaps URL order does not matter. This is from the Search Engine Roundtable again. I love when they get into these minutiae questions.
The next one's even more minutiae than this one. But go ahead.
Well, it's pretty much what it says. When you build a sitemap, the order does not matter which pages go where. I'm not even sure they pay any attention. They just use them as suggestions when you put in priorities, if even that anymore. But also, the next one says changing word order and title tags shouldn't impact SEO. All Mueller here. So,
that one's interesting because there's a lot of information out online, and I know I've told people this for years ago that, you know, put your most important terms at the front of your title and put your branding at the end, right? That's standard SEO 101 stuff. But what he's saying here is it doesn't matter. If you put your branding at the front or the end, it shouldn't have any impact. Mm. I'd love to see that tested somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll stick to what I know.
And yeah, there's no reason to change it. I mean, but if you have a client that insists their branding has to be in the front, it might not be as big a deal as we thought it was.
Yeah. And I mean, really, what we're supposed to be doing is hasn't changed. We're supposed to be focusing on the user experience. And in most cases, they want their answer first, or they want to know that the answer is going to be on the page, and then they can see the brand name. Brand name doesn't matter at the beginning unless you've got some notable, completely awesome brand name or something with a lot of authority.
Or if it's a brand-based search. If they're looking for a brand, then it's great to have your brand in there. But
yeah, well, Yeah, and it's going to be in there. This doesn't have to be first. So
yep. Yeah. And I get, and we've talked about this on the show. Google rewrites these things so much anyway nowadays that it, you know, someone made a really good point about the idea that, well, why not write them longer than they're supposed to be and let Google decide what's the best title for that particular query? So that way, if it is a brand base, maybe Google will put the brand in the front, you know, if you want to give them that much power over your listings. Not that they don't have all the power anyway. But that's, since they're rewriting them anyway, give them some options and let them write what's best for the query. That's another thing I'd love to see tested.
Yeah, no question. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got some questions.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
WebmasterRadio.fm is the destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Engage with our panel of on-air experts and peers by following us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can listen to WebmasterRadio.fm on air or on demand from our website or through iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcasts. Interact and stay informed. Just search for WebmasterRadio.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So the first question here is from Mark Dawson. Thanks for posting it, Mark. It's a local ranking question, he says. With the rise of semantic search and exact keyword or phrase being marginalized, why is it that there is such a discrepancy in similar local searches? That's not picking, it's not clicking with me right now. It seems clear.
Well, so he gave a couple examples of the, I just didn't cut them into our notes here. Basically, he said, like, if you have, and I'm just paraphrasing what he said, it's like, you know, the idea of best pepperoni pizza in Boston versus Boston's best pepperoni pizza. And that's what he's talking about with, you know, similar local searches, but they have completely different results.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just not sure how I'd answer it. To be quite honest.
I think one of the...
A little more thought anyway.
Yeah, and one of the things in my mind is local, honestly, is still not as good as the standard organic search. There's broken things about it. They've got a lot of work they can do to improve local search, and this is probably just one of those things that they need to improve. You're absolutely correct. You know, targeting a page for an exact match key phrase is not a good idea these days, and that should translate over into local search as well. But it doesn't necessarily anymore. You know what I mean? It's still broken. They got to fix that thing.
Wait, man, is it really broken? I don't know. I mean, there are certain things I would think so, but in this case, you know, if the maybe the term is similar. But if it's written in a different way, why not show different searches or different answers?
Yeah. And when I say broken, I'm thinking like different pieces of it, not the whole thing as a whole. I mean, Google local search, I use it every day. But there's pieces of it that are not working the way they should. Like your car can work fine, but if your taillight's broken, you've got a broken car, right?
Yeah. Well, in this example, he's using Barry real estate agent versus real estate agent in Barry. Well, I can assume why he's asking that question is he wants to get rankings in both. Hey, makes perfect sense, right? You want to have exposure wherever you can. From a Google search perspective, nothing's broken there if they're providing relevant results. It's just not always the same result. And I think any kind of stability of result like that would be too easily gamed.
Yeah, plus I bet you if he took those same search phrases and put them in standard organic search, he's going to see differences there as well. Maybe not as dramatic differences as you see in local search, but they're going to be there.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't be a little more accurate there for Mark, but thanks for posting it anyway. It certainly was a teaser. There's lots to think about there, really. Yeah. Anyway, there is another question here, and I'm not sure if we touched on it yet. Everything's a little bit out of order here. No, that was 3 weeks ago. The one about the e-commerce site.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to read it off here. I'm doing it from the site, so I haven't actually cut this down yet. Hi, everyone. I have an e-commerce site. It's an electrical shop. If I type Detopsy electrical shop in Google search and scroll down the search result, I will come across no information is available for this page. Oh, yes, we did cover this, didn't we? It bears talking about again, though. I told my friend about this and said he has added my site to Google search that will take some days before Google can have access to my website. How do I resolve this? Is my friend's procedure correct? Thank you for contributing. So, Johnny, what do you think?
Let's just say there's a little file called the robots.txt file. And then my gut is telling me that you're blocking access to that page. And a lot of times when Google sees that, that you're blocking that page, but they have it indexed, they find it some other method. Just because you have it blocked doesn't mean they're not going to find it. They will say that there's no information available based on the robots.txt file. This one doesn't mention robots.txt, so I can't be 100% sure, but I've seen them mentioning robots.txt specifically in that situation.
Yeah, that's the answer. Looking at the comments, that's exactly what Mark found. Mark Taylor, our wonderful community moderator, jumped in and helped and got it all fixed up with Etop, the person who posted it. And nice. Yes, it was a disallow. So, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people think if you put the robots.txt disallow crawling, that means that Google can never find that page. And that's not true at all. If someone links to that page, they will find it via the crawl that way. And they will put it in their index. They may or may not display it. And if they do, they'll put something like what we just heard. There's a little note in there saying we can't give you the details of this page because it's currently blocked.
Yeah,
that happens. If you do want a page out of the index completely, the absolute best way to do that is with a robots no index tag on the page itself, meta tag on the page itself.
Right on. And thank you, Mark. Yeah, I see he has posted, I think because we do see this occasionally, even the community sees it. He's posted the basic guide to robots.txt file syntax. So it's nice. A good thing to bone up on if you're a little out of date on that stuff. Honestly, I don't do it enough anymore. I look at it once in a while to remember everything too.
Yeah.
It's amazing how little brain cells go.
And the last major change I remember happening to that file was when they added the ability to add the directions to the sitemap XML files in there.
Wow. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think we got all the questions that are sitting in there right now. A lot of people asking about the next show. I know there was a little bit of a break there in terms of stuff getting updated. It's all updated now, and we're even going to be redoing a show that didn't work out. For some reason, the recording didn't work. So you'll have lots to listen to, for better or worse. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Google. You can also email me via ross@stepforth.com or reach John via Twitter @JohnCarcutt. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.